Well, we will be continuing our study in the book of James. We're actually coming to James chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to go ahead and find your place there, James chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at the importance of really bridling our tongue. At the beginning, if you're here at the opening of the service, the prelude was, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." So look at what that first verse says. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." Wonderful hymn. Really, it's written by Charles Wesley. How could it not be but a good hymn? And, you know, the whole idea is kind of this desire to be able to magnify the praise of God. But if we want to bring this back into a human, back to planet Earth and our everyday life, this probably isn't a good prayer for a lot of us, because the one tongue we have, it gets us in enough trouble. Can you imagine what kind of trouble we could get in with a thousand of them? You know, we would continually be dealing with issues all the time. You know, we live in a time that restraint in speech has really become non-existent. Social media certainly has made it where we will text things, type things, and put it on the internet that we would never say face-to-face. We find that the extreme politics, both on the right and the left, are dividing the country and just stirring up hate, and even the media has joined in with this. And Ben Sasse's book called Them, which is a great analysis of how things are happening why we're dividing, he mentions not only the politicians, they generate a lot of income by getting you to hate the other side. But so does the news medias, you know, Fox News, CNN, all of that. If they can get you not to like the other side or even hate them, they will be able to they'll be able to raise their money. So we need to understand that hate is big business, and maybe as Christians we shouldn't be a part of that. Easily responding, we find that we get offended easily to offense or even a perceived offense. We repeat things that may not be true just because backs up our own opinion bias. And all of these demonstrate that not only the world, but for a lot of Christians, we do not heed the warning in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, which he says this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Quick to hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry. We're just in an angry time. Everyone's angry. You know, and we need to understand that our words have power. They can bless or they can break. They can build up or they can bulldoze down. You know, just think when a child comes in and has painted a picture for their parents, and they come and show them what they had done, and the parents look at them and they can either say, "Oh, what a beautiful painting, I love that. Oh, you did that for me." That would be building up. Or sometimes the parents might say, "Did you get into my good paper? And did you clean up after yourself? Did you clean up the paint? Where did you get the paint at?" Bulldoze down. And it's so easy for us to do the bulldozing rather than the building up. Words have power. But we need to recognize what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. He said, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." If I were to paraphrase this, I would say every careless word they speak or every keystroke they make. Because a lot of keystrokes are careless. "And for by your words, your texts, your emails, your postings, by your words you will be justified, and by your words, texts, keystrokes, you will be condemned." Now last week, We finished up chapter 2, and James is really focused on works demonstrating faith. And he was basically saying it's just not good enough to say that you have faith and it doesn't change your life. That there has to be some deeds, there has to be some evidence of an actual changed life. But now he's now moving two words, because he wants us to know that words are still important. They're just as important as our works, our deeds, because they demonstrate what's inside of us. And notice what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. At this time, a lot of people were coming along and becoming teachers. Just every, a lot of people volunteering, a lot of false teachers in the church, a lot of people who were not quite ready for the church, and he wanted them to know how serious it was to be a teacher. Because there's a greater accountability. Good, very rewarding, but also highly responsible for what we teach. And then he moves on, and what he says really applies for all of us too. He says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. If that's not an understatement, I don't know what is, right? And I'm so glad that James is including himself. We all make mistakes. We all were born into a sinful world. We were born with a sinful nature. Of course, we've made mistakes. We've sinned. And we continue because of our lives to make mistakes from time to time. And he says, if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Well, we can kind of see the truthfulness of that. If we could actually just control our tongues, we would be, it would seem like we would be perfect. Have you ever just met people who just really had a gift for that? My father-in-law was amazing in that. He just knew how to bridle his tongue. He thought through everything that he had to say. O.S. Hawkins, in his book, The James Code, points out three major truths about this, because it goes on and says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way, because then we have this ability to control what's easier to control, because it's what we say comes out so easy and so quickly. And O.S. Hawkins talks about three points of this. He says, first of all, controlled speech can be directed. And he goes on and he says this: we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. So just think about that. The horses, huge animals, but you get on top of that and the smallest of the person can control it just with a bit. Those who work those giant Clydesdales, they do six at a time, and it's just one guy holding the reins and steering them where he wants them to go. But you need to know and remember that it's not the horse that's putting the bit in his mouth. It is the person who is in control. And that's where we're going with James, because he's talking about, you can be in control, you can have your tongue controlled, but it's not going to be you. It's possible to have your words controlled and directed, but we need to also understand that it's not us who's actually doing that. We're moving towards faith. We're moving towards giving control of it to the Lord, the Master. And the very fact that we can do this, and he's illustrating this, helps us with that whole idea where people will say from time to time, well, I'm sorry, I just like to say, I'm just wired to say how it is. I just call it as I see it. So here's, I'm going to give you my permission. I don't know if it's biblical, but here's my permission. If somebody ever says to you, I just call it as I see it. You have permission to say, well, so do I, and what you're saying is absolutely wrong. You can control what you're saying. You didn't have to say that. Yeah, I've mentioned before, you know, sometimes we talk about being authentic, and we want to be authentic in a noble sense, not in like, well, this is how I am. Yeah, you know, I don't think jerk is an authentic character trait that we want. But you know, when we control a horse with a bit, I remember going, last time I went, it was decades ago, I went horseback riding with friends. Since I was the tallest of the group, the people at the ranch said, well, we're going to give you this horse. It likes to buck. We think you'll probably be strong enough to stay on it. You know, that's just never a good same thing. We're giving you the one that bucks. So I get on it, and it did like to buck. And when we got to the clearing after a long ride, all the horses took off, all of them. And all my friends, they thought that was great fun. And I was like, absolutely not. Not on this crazy horse. I just kept pulling it back, and I got it under control. Their horses ran through the woods and knocked a bunch of them off, you know, as they grazed trees. It's just amazing. When there's control, there's actually great good that can happen. But you have to yield control, which brings us to the next one. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn where the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. You know, when a freighter or cargo ship comes to Chesapeake Bay, the captain has sailed it all the way across the ocean. But as he comes to the bay, this little boat comes out, comes alongside, no matter what the weather is, snowing, raining, high wind, high heat. Comes alongside, and the person has to jump from that little boat onto that ship, and the captain yields the ship. And that pilot brings it through the bay, because the pilot knows where the channels are, where they're the deepest. He knows where the ship is going. And there's an idea of yielding. And so we need to understand that the beginning to control our tongue is actually yielding control, and yielding control to the Lord. And he says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. So it can do good or it can do bad. I was just doing this, and just recently I was talking to Lisa about elementary school. My third grade teacher, Mrs. Parker, she came in because the other teacher had some health crises and she left, and Mrs. Parker came in, and she was great. I mean, she just saw you and saw potential, and her words are always lifting up. She was kind of stern at times when she had to be, but she was a lot of fun, and we learned so much. And she would really look at you and just speak into your life, you know, words of affirmation. Which was refreshing, because second grade was not so good. And I remember my second grade teacher's name, but she must not be spoken of. Her name must not be mentioned. Because she was not good. I was a very slow reader. I was a very slow writer, because I was trying to always write neat. And she would come, and at the end of the day, I wasn't quite done with my work. And I can remember her kind of kneeling down by me and yelling, you know, are you stupid? Can't you read? Do you need to be back in first grade? Things like that. If your desk wasn't just right, she'd dump it. I mean, it just constantly things. And I was like, wow, this is just terrible. So you can build or you can bulldoze. So what we learn is that controlled speech can be directed for good, but contentious speech can be destructive. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Between the mismanagement of forests and the effects of global warming, the American West knows about sparks. They know about a careless cigarette or a match or a campfire. Millions of acres can go up in flame, and houses can burn. Thousands of houses can burn. People can lose their lives. And if they find out who's responsible, they get the bill for putting out the forest fire. Can you imagine that bill? That's how serious they take a careless spark. And we're reminded a careless word is destructive also, and we should take it seriously. James puts it this way, and among all the body parts, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Pretty strong language. Words can destroy relationships. They can end careers. They can invite scorn, or they can also attract lawsuits. So we need to be careful about the words that we use, because it can destroy so much. Verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. So here James is reminding us how that the tongue is impossible for us to control, even though we can train elephants to do things, even killer whales to do things, giant animals to do our bidding. But our tongue is restless. And so we're unable to tame, which seems to be hopeless for fallen man, is possible through God's grace and power. Remember earlier, James said that we all make mistakes. It's our sinful nature. So we need to recognize that. And our tongue, our lives need a transformation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is more than change of life. This is an exchange of life, an exchange of natures. This is a changing of our spiritual DNA, of who we are. And if we are new, if we are actually a new creation, then there's going to be a change not only in our habits, but also in what we say. Our speech will be consistent with that new nature. And James goes on next in telling us that speech can be contentious, speech can be destructive, but also conflicting speech can be deceptive. Sometimes it praises our Lord and our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Okay, we know that. I mean, we've seen probably know people who do that. Hopefully it's not us, that there's people who can come to church on a Sunday and sing praises to God and talk to people and be just wonderful, and then on Monday morning they get to work and they just chew people out. They are some of the most unpleasant people to be around. I've known people who have gone to church all of their lives. They're like in their 70s and 80s, you know, and I had talked to them at times, and I'm like, wow, we need to have an emergency meeting to find out why your life has never been exchanged. And he goes on, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grape tree produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. You know, as I was preparing this message, I went online and I started looking at poisons, tolerable levels of poisons in our drinking water. Don't do that. Because it talks about how much arsenic is acceptable in our drinking water. I'm thinking no arsenic. Lead, there's an acceptable amount of lead. Diesel fuel, there's an acceptable level of that. Any kind of poison you can think of, there's an acceptable level that you can drink. And let me just tell you, those are pretty minuscule levels, because it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to contaminate what is good. And so James is trying to get us to understand that if our nature has changed, our speech is going to change. And if we are going back and forth from one to the other, there's a major problem. And the problem is probably not a new nature. Maybe modified behavior for the day of the week, but not an exchange of DNA, spiritual DNA. And we should be concerned about that. So we have a little project this morning about how we can get a grip on our tongues. So I'm going to ask Charles and Larry and David. They're going to go bring the offering plates out, and I got a real treat for you today. You get to take something out of the offering plate. How about that? So what you will get, you'll see there's a little bag like this, and there's two little wipes in there. So one bag per couple, you know, if you're visiting with somebody. One bag per couple. If there's three or four of you, then you want two bags. If there's more than four, you want three bags. But you definitely want a bag. You have to have a bag because this is a project we're all doing together. And once you get the bag, go ahead and open up the bag. Just unzip it. And then you want to take that little towelette out. You know, 2 years ago, I could have sold each one of these for a buck. So once you get it, take that little thing out, and then go ahead and open up the case, and you take the towelette out, and then you take the little trash, put it in the bag. See? It all works. Then you just go ahead and open up the towelette. Oop, I know it might tear on you like that one. Okay, everybody wave it. Let me see it. Really, wave it. Okay, got it waved. Okay, now take it, go ahead, and just get your fingers and hands good and clean. You might want to hold on to this in a moment. When we are completely done with it, you can put it back in the bag. But for the next 5 minutes, you might want to keep it handy. I know, you're thinking, boy, what are we doing? Well, it's part of hygiene. And so we got this little project. Now we're going to learn a song. It's from Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your towelette in your non-dominant hand. Psalm 34, 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Lisa and John are going to lead us in this song, and then we're going to come back to it.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. And your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue.
Now that you've heard it, you can sing it with me this time. Here we go.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. And your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue.
Could you guess that it was a children's song? Any hint about that? Maybe like the music and all? Yeah, this is a song that we used to teach the children, and now there's a special thing that we're going to do. Take your dominant hand that you cleaned and grab a hold of your tongue. And now we're going to sing it.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. And your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue.
Very good. We have you on video. If you did not do it, you'll be getting a letter. Now you know why you need to keep that hand, and go ahead and wipe that other hand. We don't want you shaking other people's hands now until you clean that up a little bit. So anyway, that's what we used to teach kids, and it's just kind of a really fun reminder that we should have a grip on what we say. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, 45, really echoing, well, James was echoing Jesus. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. An evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Our tongues give us away every time. And so, we need to ask ourselves, what do our tongues reveal about us? What does your tongue reveal about you? What does my tongue reveal about me? What are the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm posting? Are they driving hate? Are they driving division? Or are they building up?